Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. Our next workshop is coming up January 18th through the 20th in Texas, in the Hill Country, north of San Antonio. Space is limited, so call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY to register. That's 1-800-497-8748 or visit gatewaymen.com. Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We are glad to have you here with us again.
Yes.
My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen Cervantes. So,
I'm glad to be here, too.
Yeah, man. I tell you what. You know, we are 2019. Like,
wow.
You know, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that because, you know, when I think about when I graduated high school and thought just, you know, that even the change of the millennium, you know, going to 2000 seemed like it was light years away still. And now we're 19 years into this 21st century. It's just amazing to me. But thank you, listeners, for being with us. I want to let you know, as we do regularly, that we're a listener-supported broadcast. So the only way that you're hearing us or seeing us is because we've just had faithful partners come alongside. And I just want to say something, you know, I understand what it's like to, man, have tons of podcast feeds in your podcast catcher, and
yes.
You know, there's all these things, and I recognize too, if you're listening to a lot of ministry podcasts, they're all saying the same thing to you. We're listener supported, right? And I have to confess, I don't give to every single podcast that I listen to,
right.
but I try to support those that I can every now and then, and. Because the reality is we reach thousands of listeners every single week, and less than 0.2% of 1% actually support and partner with us. And I'm not saying that to complain or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a relatively small amount of people that can keep this going, and we're just thankful for those few that decide, you know, to come alongside and support. And so even just if a handful more were willing to actually come alongside, that would help with expansion and growth and some of those kinds of things. But I want to say thank you to those of you who do support this ministry, and just encourage any of you that are feeling prompted to give, to simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link, and you can learn about the ways that you can partner with us. But Stephen, I'm excited because, you know, last time we were together, we talked about emotional insights. This time we're going to kind of keep plugging into some of that emotional growth language. And the reason I'm so excited about that is because this year we are launching a 7-series webinar training on emotional training for men. And the first one of those sessions is coming up January 11th at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time here in Texas. We want you to register for that. Even if you can't make the live time on January 11th, register, because then you will be able to get access to the video recording of that. But we're going to do a 7-part series, and if you just register now, you'll get access to all 7 webinars. We are asking for a suggested donation of only $7, but and of course any donation you want to make towards that would be helpful. If you absolutely cannot afford that, you can still register for the webinar series and get access to the videos. But January 11th, the first one's coming up. Go to puresexradio.com and click on the webinars link, and you can actually sign up for the webinar. And so, Stephen, we're going to kind of continue some of this emotional training.
Yes. So, one man inspired me. Isn't it interesting how It just takes one person to to move you forward. They give you a thought, an idea, and it's like, wow, I'm going to piggyback on what's happening in your life, and I'm going to build on that too. So I came up with a 7-day proclamation for any man who wants to work on emotional growth this year. I want you to change it, use any wording you like, but I'm going to give you an outline, and you may have to listen to this and stop it and start it.
Well, we'll include this as a PDF in the show notes. We'll make sure. Yeah.
Okay, good. And, I'm thinking I might change a little bit of wording here. Is that I typed this quick. There may be a typo, or maybe you want to send out the clean version.
Let's
do that. We'll clean it up at the end. Okay, good.
Don't you listeners love how we just kind of make our plans while we're on the program?
It's a
podcast.
You
yeah, so
your family. What
welcome
we
to the
here?
Production.
There you go. So I'm proofing it as I go here, going, I don't like that, I don't like that. Okay, he'll fix it. So for 7 days, you're going to make this proclamation, and I'd cover it in prayer. So beginning, ending, before you do it, cover in prayer. But you say this proclamation to your wife, okay? A husband would say this to his wife. Now, a wife can write her own proclamation about growth. That's fine, too. But this is written for men. We like to come alongside men and nudge them forward. And at the bottom of I want you to print it out, type it, but I want you to initial and date it every day you do it so you can see your progress for 7 days. And then I'd be curious to see what happens. What does God want you to do on the 8th day and the 9th day? Write another script, focused on it. But whatever, you're going to use this as your 7-day starter.
And I would just say this, by the way, if you're willing to even just share with us kind of the outcomes or the results of this, we can do that confidentially for sure. We'd love to hear about that. You can email that to us at mypoint@puresexradio.com. So we'd love to even just hear any feedback you have for that.
So as I read this, you tweak anything you need to tweak on yours. So here goes. I've told myself I can live just fine without doing any emotional work. However I started, Beth, I'm just fine. I'm just going to marriage as an adolescent and a young adult, and whatever I got, I'm greatly equipped. I don't have to do emotional work. But I told myself in the past that I can live just fine without doing it. Number two, but today I'm admitting that stunting myself emotionally not only stunted me, but it's hurt my wife and stunted our relationship. I'm taking ownership of that today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a couple of comments. So you can
I would just say, as far as that first point, it's kind of like the old saying, well, how has that worked for you? Just saying, I'm fine without emotions. In some ways, it's almost like a defensive response. Because the reality is that somebody who's making that statement is probably recognizing that I'm actually not doing too fine trying to disengage emotion and say it's not part of my life because... Yeah. The reality is every human being is an emotional being. So even if you say, I'm going to shut myself off, I'm not going to do emotions, you're not going to connect with anybody. And you're probably going to be a miserable person for all of those people because the people that do want to
be... Or a very shallow person.
Well, the people that do want to be emotionally healthy are realizing they can't connect with you either, and it becomes a very frustrating process.
That's the danger. If your emotions aren't working... You can have an emotional connection, a dialogue, the depth. We're going to talk about sports and weather and politics. And
that's why I think the second insight is very important. He's realizing that that is untenable. I can't actually not do emotions because I'm realizing that when I try to connect with my wife, it doesn't work. So it's not just about me being stunted emotionally, but my stuntedness is then causing a stuntedness in our relationship.
In the marriage, in the family, right? In our friendships, right? Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So that was two. So I'll stop after everyone. It'd be that. Otherwise, I'll read a bunch. And then. So number three, in the past, I blamed my wife and said things like this. She's just too emotional. You know how women are. They're too emotional.
Oh, my.
You know, why does she act that way? I don't know why she lets her feelings get hurt. She's just too emotional. That's the problem.
Well, in the last session, we were talking about this guy who says, I'm gonna take charge of my own emotions, right? Yes. So the way I would say that a better way to respond to this for a guy who instead of just saying, you know, pointing the finger at her and saying she's too emotional, what if he then stops and says, okay, in terms of taking charge of my own emotions, maybe what I need to recognize in this moment is I'm not emotional enough.
Yeah, I'm a zero.
Yeah.
She's running hot right now.
So if I were even just a 50,
yeah,
I would recognize she's not that far off. You know, we're not. Now, I'm not ever saying that it's always a one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the ways in which emotion is expressed and all that, there's a difference between men and women in terms of how that works. But if, like you said, if a guy has been running at zero mm-hmm. in terms of his emotional self, then even a two or three is going to feel like she's too emotional.
Yeah.
And so I think part of this is, again, recognizing I need to take own my own emotions and recognize I'm flat. And I need to rise up.
Why
some
is
more
this so hard for men? As I saw you do that, I need to take responsibility for myself. It's almost like you are pressing in, going, I got to do this. You got to do this. We got to do this, guys. We got to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
But look, my father never talked emotional. You know, life was about fixing things and breaking them, fixing them, making them better and tearing them down and putting them back. It was like work. One time my father said, I was painting a fence. And I didn't know where to start. And he said, he walked away and he came back. He said, what are you doing? I'm looking at the fence because I don't know where to start, at the top or the bottom or the right or the left. He said, I didn't tell you to think. I told you to work. I started slapping paint wherever there was a board.
Oh,
you know,
my, yeah.
It wasn't like we were having a work moment and what's going on? How you doing? And we're not having a just work. Nothing else is required of you, son. Yeah. Just work.
And that's just it. So then that mentality, when taken into the home and into the marriage, right, is basically saying, hey, I didn't ask how you felt about it. Just we're going to pay that bill. And yeah. We're going to, you know, so it's very, it causes us to think that even relationships are purely about function. Like what's the outcome, you know, pragmatically supposed to be here, not the emotional connection. And that's why I think sometimes we got to pause and we have to say, I can't look at her and make her emotions like just a trigger in the sense of thinking she's too emotional and therefore it's her fault and I'm just supposed
just
to be
too
pragmatic.
When you say that, it's not honest.
Right.
She is emotional, but so am I, and she's upset and I get upset. I mean, it's right. It's just I don't want to stay in this emotional moment. Okay, so stop it.
Right.
If you just stop it, we'll be okay. So number four, I have lived like a man with my logic and with my body and with my faith. So with my logic, I do jobs and I solve problems. With my logic, I make things happen, right? And with my body, I work out, I do sports, I take care of my body. I've taken this body to adult and done adult things, right? With my faith, I go to church, I do adult things. That's number four, but let me put five with it, then you comment. That's four. Five is, but I have lived like a scared boy when emotions arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So I arise. So when I use my logic, I can logic you good. And if you want to tussle and go lift something heavy and move something, we can use our bodies as men. And we can go to church and sit in a pew because that's what adults do. But when you give me an emotional situation, I act like a scared boy with my emotions and with your emotions.
Yeah. And here's, I would like to say, you know, I don't want to create sort of a false dichotomy or a shaming dichotomy here that says, you know, hey, listen, you know, responding like the logical man and making decisions and doing actionable things as if somehow, well, that's all negative. No, it's like, listen, we live in San Antonio, and this is very much a military town, right?
Yes.
When the military has to go on a mission and there's a particular execution that needs to take place of that mission and there are direct orders that need to be taken care of, listen, I want you to think like that first statement there that says, we've got a very practical and specific thing that we need to do and get it done.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about here. we're talking about relationships. We're talking about marriages. We're talking about fathers with their children. We're talking about friends.
Emotional moments.
And the reality is we have got to understand that that requires a different grid through which we are going to process our thinking and process our decision-making. And the reason why I think so many men struggle with this is because it does feel more, if I can put it this way, natural and comfortable when it's got to do a mission.
Task, yep.
And I've got that task that I need to do. Mm-hmm. But I want to declare that that's a good thing. You know, absolutely. I believe that God has made us that way.
That's
I
mean, the good part of us as men. We do bring paychecks home and do jobs. And I'm not just talking about men. Women do this too. But men go out there and cut the grass, well, yeah, and put gas in the car and take it into the shop.
And
men,
listen, I'm not things, and, you know? And I will take the heat for being standing firm on the fact that yes, men and women have different roles.
Yep.
I'm okay with that. If people want to try to people keep trying to close the gap between men and women. Mm. Listen, men, we are called to protect.
That's right.
We are meant to use our broad shoulders for protection, yep. And we are to step in front of that bullet. We are to protect our children, protect our wives. I'm okay with saying that. And so that's a particular role that I think God has designed men for that say, we're not going to think in that moment. You know, we're not going to make it an emotional moment. It's like, somebody's coming after my wife. Guess what?
Yeah.
They got to come through me. And I'm not going to say, how do you feel about that? It's like, no, I'm getting no. in front. But that's not really what we're talking about here. Those are necessary. That's a good positive thing about what we are. But where we struggle is then when we need to sit down on the couch with our wife and listen to her unpack her day and share all of the emotions about that. And it might be, and the problem is we try to bring fix it man into that moment when what she needs is she needs feeling man to come into that moment. It might not be resolved at all.
Yeah.
And that's where we struggle. She's too emotional. She's because I can't fix it. And that's what I'm most familiar with and feel most comfortable with. And so I think that something's wrong because I can't do anything.
Then it sounds like, stop it. Stop talking. You're hurting me with all your emotions, right?
And so what I'm hearing here is he's saying, I've got to recognize that I got to do something with scared little boy that shows up when emotions happen. And I need to do something to help him grow up. Because he's going to have to not be scared little boy. It doesn't mean that we can't have those emotional reactions. I mean, there's still today in my life where my wife can share something with me, and guess what? A scared little boy shows up. But I can't operate as scared little boy. I acknowledge that I can say to her, I really don't know what to do about that. I'm sorry that that happened to you.
But that's not scared boy. Scared boy says, stop it, you're hurting me.
Right.
That's very
scared boy wants to run away.
I don't know what to do, but I'm going to be here with you, and we can pray about it and hold your hand, and that shouldn't be happening in your life. I can make my connection.
I'm just saying that it's not as if you will get to a point where there's not fear, there's not some anxiety,
absolutely.
There's not those kind of things.
No, that's right. Fear is going to be there. It's part of our life. And so... But being overwhelmed and lost is boy, right? I don't know what to do. What should I do? Why are you talking? Don't talk. Stop. I got to get mad and make you stop. Run away. Plug my ears. So number six is why we're doing this. And I said it was a seven-day proclamation. I should say it's a seven-day emotional proclamation because here it is. Today, I'm taking responsibility for my emotions and my emotional responses. And number seven is, I must face this new reality. I am running an emotional system. I have emotions. I need to befriend my emotions. I need to know how my emotions work. And we just cued you in. Sometimes you feel like a scared boy. You're going to run away, or you're going to practice adult skills. Just stay. Hold the moment. Ask for wisdom. Do adult. Are you going to make stop? Don't talk. I don't like it. You're hurting me. Don't tell me you're not happy.
And then I think eight even rolls into this kind of series here of saying I'm responsible for my own emotional system.
That's good.
So I almost look at six and eight, where six says I am taking responsibility for my emotions, and eight, which says I am responsible for my own emotional system, kind of in the same way that, like, when I think about 1 John 1 And it talks about, you know, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. And then later it says, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. So it's almost like doesn't that seem redundant? And in some ways, it's like you're just looking at the same thing from two different angles. Like in number six, I feel like he's saying, I'm going to engage my will because I have to actually take responsibility for my own emotions. I can't pass that ownership to somebody else, right? I'm gonna engage my will, and I'm going to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. The other one, when it says I am responsible for my own emotional system, is it's realizing, kind of the positional statement there of, guess what? Whether you engage your will, you're still actually responsible for your own emotional system. Does that make sense? So in the one, it's like saying, I'm going to take responsibility. The other one is saying, did you know, Stephen, that even if you don't take responsibility, it's still your responsibility?
Right. Yes, yes, yes. One is taking in and taking the right stand, right?
One is just telling you how it really is.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So one is saying, whether you take responsibility or not, at the end of the day, you're still responsible for your emotions. So,
yep.
The other one
is, every day I'm responsible, right? One, I think, is I'm going to actively engage this project. And then the other one is, at the end of the day, whatever I did, I'm responsible.
It is what it is. Yeah. That's, it's like, even if you didn't own it, even if you didn't engage your will, you are still, it's like the truth is, you are responsible for your own emotional system, regardless of how you think about it, regardless of how you respond to it, and whether you engage your will in it, you are responsible. That's kind of the truth statement.
Yeah, that's good.
The other one is him saying how he's going to respond to that truth statement, which is, yeah, I am going to own it. I'm going to take responsibility, and I'm going to engage my will to be responsible with my emotions.
Yeah, and I like one because it's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, every day, how'd I do today? I'm responsible for my emotions. What'd I do today? When you said, your abilities come up, okay, I'm responsible. What am I going to do? Every day, I have to deal with myself well.
And I like the fact that he's also saying, I got to face this new reality. I have to face it. I can't ignore it.
Yes. So number nine, I'll no longer use bad tools like lying, pretending, making excuses, running away, right? Blaming, shaming, all these bad tools. I'm going to stop using all those things. Mm-hmm. Like, they somehow have a good ending. They don't have. When you pretend, it doesn't have a good ending. When you start lying and deceiving, you don't have a good ending. Making excuses, you know, all that stuff. I'm going to try to hold the moment, be responsible. Be more mature. I don't need to do the kids. Okay, don't let them catch you. Hide it. Lie.
I love the recognition here of what those specific things are that are bad tools. You know, because I think there's some people out there that they've run this system so long, the bad system, the ignoring and the pretending and the lying and all that, they don't see the connection. You know, they think that escaping into porn is just a perfectly fine way to respond to stress. You know, it's like that's right. So ingrained. Again, we've talked earlier about blind spots, that sometimes we need something like even this document to come along and say, do you realize these are poor systems for running your emotional self?
Yeah.
So declare that. I'm not going to do these things anymore. Now, does that mean you're never going to tell a lie and you never? No, but we're in a process of saying, I want to recognize and acknowledge this. That's why I think it's important to do this 7-day declaration, because it starts getting you almost creating a mantra in your mind of,
exactly,
I'm not going to use these bad tools anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to escape. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to tack back. Those are just, they're coping tools for a moment, but they leave damage. And you practice bad and they hurt the person who's come to talk to you about the pain in their life.
Yeah.
They go, okay, I don't want to take a hit from you. I don't want you to have to leave the room because I told you I was struggling. Now you have to leave because you don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So number 10, I want to live a pure, clean life of freedom. And I want to be a man of integrity. You know, that's how we all start. I want to go back to my original start. I want to be light and clean and free and fun, not scared boy, curious boy who's out on an adventure to learn about life.
I would even add to that, I want to be a man of integrity and innocence. That's kind of what you're describing. And I know that that's something that's very foreign to men in terms of thinking about themselves. We don't think of ourselves as returning to innocence. But there is a need for us to, in terms of building emotional health, recognize that that is a pursuit of cleanness. The idea of, listen, I don't need to be stained by the junk of this world. I need to live in the world, but I'm not of the world. I don't need to be enmeshed in the dirtiness of the culture in the world. And there's something of an emotional maturity to that, to say, I can be clean.
Yes. And the next one I want to feed in, I want you to keep going, because 11 is running a healthy emotional and spiritual program will help you live that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right, healthy emotions with great spiritual truths are what you need. If you're just emotional and you got no God, you're going to run on a low tire that goes flat periodically. You know, if you're just spiritual and everything is all this, big spiritual thing, and you try to disconnect from your body, well, that'll work for a while, and then your body's going to ache and pull you back in with whatever. It's like you got to run good emotions and good spirit, then you can accomplish this goal.
And I think the intersection of that is developing those really strong and healthy disciplines of daily time in the Word and daily time in prayer, community. You know, yes. Connecting with the body of Christ for worship and those kind of things. That I think creates that intersection between the spiritual and the emotional to bring us to those plates where it's like, okay, so I just read today about, reading in Proverbs about how to resist temptation, and now I'm dealing with a temptation on my computer. Well, how does that intersect? It's like, emotional health is saying I can't just have this spiritual idea up here and then it's disconnected from how I'm actually dealing with life in the real world.
So I'm going to read 12 and 13. By doing my emotional work, I provide an opportunity for our relationship to go deeper. By doing my work, I'm holding my half, then we can go deeper because my wife has emotions and she wants to share them with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I'm not doing my emotional work, I'm not going to be a safe place for her to pour those emotions. It's almost like I've put a lid on the top of my cup, and so she's trying to pour in, and it's just it's not getting into me because I'm going, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to. And so if I'm doing my emotional work and recognize I'm an emotional being, I need to take responsibility. I need to mature in this area. Part of that is not just in what I am pouring out, but what I'm allowing to come in. Because emotional maturity means I'm going to listen, and I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to run away. I mean, I may cry, but what I'm saying is I'm not going to be whiny about that, or I'm not going to say, la, 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 stick my finger in my ears and go, I don't want to hear it.
That's good. So 14, I'll start making small steps in the direction of being a healthy, emotional, spiritual man. And 15 is, please be patient with me.
Please, please.
Wives, please be patient. And let's put kind and supporting, right? Because when I'm on this journey, help me, stroke me a little, on the back.
The one word I love that you put in 14 is small. I'll start taking small steps. Yeah. Any step in the right direction is a good step. And so I think the key to that in terms of just in helping a wife be patient is men be faithful in small steps. I mean, there might be a moment where you take a big step. That's great. But being faithful in small steps over a long time is how you travel 1,000 miles, right?
Yes.
It's just one little step at a time. And next thing you know, 20 years, you wake up and you realize, man, this is a deep, emotionally mature, godly man. And it happened little steps over a long period of time. And I think that faithfulness in the little is what really helps a wife be patient. Because if she sees you continue to squirm and scream and resist, it's hard for her to be patient with you. Yeah. But if she sees effort going in little steps over a long period of time, it's like, I can get on that journey.
That's good. So the last one, number 16, and ask God to please give me wisdom and insight about how you made me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book is full of promises, the peace that surpasses understanding, right? Able to rest with the Father, finding joy, right? Just being faithful and I don't know, go back to rest. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I think one of the highest needs we have is to rest together with each other and comfort one another. We fight our battles all day. We want to come home and rest with one another. And it's like, if the Father is in the household and you're in alignment and she's in alignment, working on herself, you know, you working on you, and we're just sharing about the battles of life,
mm-hmm.
we can create a very restful place to nurture. So the last one is wisdom.
That's good. And I would say, too, maybe one area to go to get a great picture of this idea of the intimacy with which God knows us is just to read through Psalm 139 and just to kind of get a feel for that. But folks, we're gonna give you this PDF as part of the show notes. And so I would just encourage you to go through this, men, and make this proclamation every day for 7 days and just see what happens. I think it's even a healthy experiment.
Yes, and I love what Jonathan said. Would you tell us what comes to you on day 8 and day 9 and day 10? Because one man inspired this,
mm-hmm.
and you might be the man that sends a suggestion for the next step that helps the brotherhood that's in training right now, okay? So what happened in 7 days that he showed you about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
And you can send that to us. You can go to our website, puresexradio.com. At the bottom of every page, there's a Contact Us link, or you can just email us at mypoint@puresexradio.com. We're out of time, but listeners, we're always grateful that you're with us, and
thank
we
you.
Look forward to having you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
God bless.
Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.